number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing.
We've got you covered.
Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
College football seems like it's a mess. And luckily for us, the conferences are trying to get this cleared up, which is where this should have been the entire time. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are glad that you're listening to Atlanta's number one sports station, its number one sports show. Here's the deal, guys, as we started the show today, Kevin Stefanski, the head coach of the Falcons, said and made it clear, which is great. We said maybe we'll find out tomorrow, which was yesterday. Is Penix going to play? And he is not going to play on Friday night. Now, for many of you, this may not mean anything. But I think for most Falcon fans, it does because, again, the last time you saw Michael Penix was him getting off the field and he was hurt. And we've waited this entire offseason, and he's been doing all the things that he could possibly do. This is not an indictment of Michael Penix. I think he's done everything they've asked him to do and probably more. But at some point, you need to see him on the field. And if you're telling me that may or may not happen until week one, I will have my reservations about where he is, Mike, mentally and physically, even though today he said, and here's the direct quote, even though I won't play in the finale of the final, preseason game, come week one, I will be physically and mentally ready if I'm named the starter. So he didn't say he's been named. No one's been named the starter, but he did say that today. And I just think this is a bigger deal from the standpoint of the only reason is, guys, he's coming off this injury. And we need to see. I think they need to see. But as we've been telling you, Falcon fans, maybe they're seeing enough at practice that they feel comfortable where this is at.
And the Falcon fans have not seen enough, so much so that they have now anointed Jack Strand as the guy they want to see start this season.
Yes, sir.
So we covered that. We'll talk more about that at 5 o'clock. We do know that they can be evaluating things in the next couple of weeks, which may allow Michael Penix to start in Pittsburgh. You know, but it's a lot of guys, we open the phones to start the show. A lot of guys feel that, Penix, if that right tackle position is still coming together, it could be a very long and scary afternoon for whoever's under center. Right, 1 o'clock on Sunday in Pittsburgh.
Well, Mike, all this stuff goes together, right? I mean, protection and which wasn't there in that first preseason game. And again, I think it was a mixed pot of offensive linemen that were playing. But if you're telling me the starting offensive line is going out there Friday night for, again, how many plays, we don't know. But it should look better, right? And the Colts got no pressure on Jack Strand. I mean, he felt like he had all day to throw back there, but he was completing the passes and putting the ball where he needed to be. So that's something we're looking forward to. What does this mean? Right now, it simply means Tua's going to play with the ones on Friday. Beyond that, I'm like, I don't know if it means Cooper Rush comes in next or if it's Jack Strand.
Well, again, it's put it this way. If you see Jack Strand in there before Cooper Rush, then the coaching staff is seeing the same thing you're seeing. If you're seeing Cooper Rush out there and Jack Strand's going to be mopping up in the fourth quarter, that's the reality check,
yep.
Carl.
Yep.
I mean, yes, it's great to see a guy look as good as he did at times, and he did up in Indianapolis. But you've got to temper that with the situational defense, the players, the caliber he was going up against. As we said, we want to keep him in the mix if there's a way to stash him somewhere. But the only way you do that is throw him on the practice squad, which means somebody, if they really like him, could potentially come and get him. And as we said, there's been a buzz about Jack Strand, at least nationally, on some of the football shows on ESPN and NFL Network. But we'll see. I'm looking forward to seeing him out there. But again, remember, he'll be going up against guys that'll be third and fourth stringers when you see him.
You mean Friday?
On Friday in Miami, most likely.
And look, so we'll just have to wait to see. My whole thing with this is if you're unsatisfied with Tua or what you've seen, and most of you are, if you are not sure about Michael Penix, which most of you are, then play the guy that's played the best, and that's Frost. That's Jack Strand. To Mike's point, it becomes one of these things where you go, is that realistic? And I just think, look, if this is competition-based, which we've heard it is, then that's the reason why so many callers have called in today. Andre, Wilson, Patrick, Don, Shelton, all these guys calling in going, yeah, dude, but why not? What do we have to lose if you don't really know about these other two or you don't trust one of them? Or and I'm using a word here, and again, it sounds offensive, but it's just kind of what it is. They're fragile. One big hit.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. And we just watched a guy who felt like, all right, what is he, Mike? 6'5", 6'6" now?
6'5", 500 pounds, Paul Bunyan.
Yeah.
He's a big guy. He's Josh Allen size. And that's why so many people are intrigued by his upside. But, I mean, you also put a guy in who's never played against this level of competition against the Steelers. It's going to be pick six and sacks and a long afternoon.
It still may be that.
You know what? start.
It still may be that.
Well, then cut Tua right now and name Jack Strand your number two.
I was talking about Penix.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Penix ain't going to play. My Spidey sense right now, I have no freaking idea what they're going to do. I hope he can prove the ability to get enough for the coaches to say, you're good to go in week one. But we made the reality, you and I have said, going all the way back to April, it might be Tua for a couple of weeks, and then Penix finally gets out there. Because they're playing it by the numbers. It was 9 months to the day he got injured before we finally got cleared for 11-on-11.
How much do you trust if when they do throw him out there that he's going to be completely right?
No idea. Look, you said it. Look, guys, I hate to burst your bubble, those that are still lighting the lamp for Penix, an injury-prone quarterback who shockingly got injured. And now we don't get to start the season, or we're guessing when we will see him. Right? And then we have some guys going, no, man, week three, week four. Okay. So we're not even going to get a full sample size of Michael Penix to see if we have our franchise quarterback. Good luck with that.
All right. You can chime in. 404-726-0929. That is the text line. It's also our phone number, and you're more than welcome to let us know how you feel about that. It's just, again, I get back to, you know, if you want to defend this, and a lot of you have, like, hey, no big deal. Well, then you know something we don't. And you have a feeling about this that we don't have. Because I'm still way up in the air about a lot of this.
I'm more concerned about where the hell the pass rush is coming from. Now, we heard about Za'Darius Smith. We'll talk more about what he had to say today. A lot of really kind of opening up about why he stepped away from football, losing his mom, her having a health concern, and really having his heart not in it. Bonding with Jeff Ulbrich over the tragedy, losing his wife. But a guy who's kind of come in, and a little bit of Calais Campbell, it sure looks like, from what the guys are reporting, Za'Darius Smith had to say today, and a guy that really, you saw him running out on the field when we scored that touchdown up in Indy, that is immediately taken to this team, and he missed it. He missed being out there with the guys, all being a new team.
Mike, you know what, though? This offense has to perform, man. It has to. And not that I'm not telling you that the concern about the edge rushers and all that is not valid. It is. But this offense is where you have spent your money. It's where Matt Ryan came in and said, let's take care of him, him, and him. Oh, yeah, and him too. This offense has to be productive. I'm tired of going to these games scoring 15 points and kicking 4 field goals. So for all that other stuff, you guys can tell me it doesn't matter. It matters. And it starts with who's under center.
But you have to wait. You have to wait a few more weeks. We don't know. The waiting is the hardest part, Carl. Tom Petty's saying it.
It is.
And it truly is. This has been the most exact. I will say this. I think we can all agree, Falcon fans, this has been an exasperating preseason because of all the unknowns and everything we've been dealing with. And then all you can go by is what we've told you we saw or what you hear from our buddies. Joe Patrick will join us later in the show. Today, apparently, it was a good day for the quarterbacks. Our man Flick from the AJC said apparently quarterbacks completed 88% of their throws on 11-on-11.
That's good. That's good. What's that, like a 65-70% completion rate? Feels like it, right? That's great. That's where they need
Penix,
to be.
Penix, 7-for-9 and 11-on-11 with a touchdown. 3-for-4 and 7-on-7, thrown into Chris Blair and Austin Hooper. Apparently, both guys look good. Again, if you want to get the charts where they were going, Flicks, he spent a lot of time on this. But the guy who took over for a D-led, our buddy Daniel, is doing that on the AJC.
All right, man, let's talk some dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
Kirby Smart says Georgia's not looking to add any former NFL players to their roster in wake of the recent controversy surrounding LSU. And now the SEC finally shows some balls to step up and put a statement out and say, hey, by the way, Greg Sankey, and I love this phrase, Mike, was given unlimited authority. I said, unlimited
authority,
including suspending a school from competition, deeming a player ineligible, suspending coaches or administrators. And I had to see this last night, and I was like, good for the SEC. And then I was like, what's Greg Sankey been doing? I thought he had all of this power. I thought as the commissioner of the SEC, he had this authority. Obviously, he didn't. So now he has it, and they have set the standard, just like the Big Ten, Mike, and saying, we will not allow this, and good.
Now, when they had the initial communique, which said, you know, we don't really like this, and then the Big Ten said, well, we're not going to allow it, and the SEC said, well, we're not going to allow it, the initial vote was 16-0. Then when they voted for the vote on the actual rules with teeth, 15-0 because LSU's president abstained. So LSU didn't sign off on that.
Oh, is it fighting back there?
The vote to approve the new policy returning athletes was approved by a 16-0 vote. But again, And we were told that was initially told, but again, it was apparently 15-0 with LSU abstaining, according to Pete Thamel.
All right. So look, this is where it needs to be. Jim Phillips, the ACC, met today. Everybody's going to be on board with this, and I think this is a non-starter moving forward, regardless of any judge saying, yeah, they can come back. Because, again, I said this, it's up to the coaches. It's up to the ADs.
Well,
these are the folks that need to be making the decisions, and it's a simple decision, if you ask
does
me.
Does LSU really want to do Texas Tech, and now you're going to threaten to sue your conference to get a washed-up player from the NFL? I mean, the ridiculousness about the whole situation. Look, Will Wade, guys, shouldn't even be allowed to be coaching basketball. Okay, he should be in Greece. He should go pay his penance like Patino had to. I mean, Will Wade he is as dirty as, literally, he makes Tarkanian look like Coach K, for crying out loud.
Don't talk about Tark like that.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But LSU, I mean, it's literally a win at all costs. There is no, and I get it. Guys don't give a crap. Get away with what you can get away with. It's 2026. But still, it looks ridiculous, the kind of crap they're trying to run up the flagpole. And good for the SEC for checking. Just it looks a little silly for the SEC not to just come out with this initially.
Yeah. A little late.
To your point.
A little late, but fine. We'll take it. Meanwhile, David Pollack says Gunnar Stockton is appropriately hyped. That's the phrase he used, Mike. Appropriately hyped. Says he needs to take the next step in arm talent. Okay, so here's my question. Is that either you have it or you don't? Or can you develop? Like, for example, can I go out and get the Michael Penix arm talent even if I worked at it for 2-3 years?
No.
No. I think that's something that certain guys have.
Don't you mean the Jack Strand arm?
Yes, good call. Good call. But certain guys have and certain guys don't. You can still deliver the football. Guys have been in the NFL. Hell, Joe Montana didn't have the strongest arm, Mike. Tom Brady didn't have the strongest arm. So it doesn't – I don't know if that matters, but the arm talent thing is – that's a little misleading because I don't think you can just go create that in an offseason or even 2 off-seasons, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm throwing the ball 85 yards.
Comes in 31st in USA Today's top 100. We talked about that earlier in Day Day's segment. He's a solid piece. We know what he's capable of. The Tennessee game was unbelievable. That was amazing, you know, being thrown in the mix, nearly getting decapitated, you know, by – think about that, Carl, when he first got thrown in the mix when Beck went down 2 years ago. You know, this kid is a gamer. He's everything that Kirby likes. He's built for tough, okay? He's that kind of dude. Is he elite? Well, when you have the greatest defense in college football history, then you can win with a Stetson Bennett. I know that I've argued. I think that Stetson Bennett is underappreciated by guys like Mike Griffith, and that Carson Beck, you know, I did have a lot of bad throws, but he also had a lot of passes dropped. But Stetson Bennett, to me, I wish that's the only thing I wish in the case of Gunnar Stockton is he had Todd Monken to coach him and not Mike Bobo, because I think some of the things which might hinder his development are beyond his control. Just like Michael Penix Jr. had to deal with a guy who's they're finding in Tampa Bay might not be up for the task in Zach Robinson.
404-726-0929. Can we hear David Pollack with Brett Rollins talking about this? This is the comments from our buddy David Pollack.
Is the SEC champion starting quarterback that's returning who finished 7th in the Heisman voting last year, i.e. Gunnar Stockton at Georgia, over, under, or appropriately hyped?
I think he's appropriately hyped. I think Gunnar is somebody that everybody loves, everybody respects, and everybody wants on their team. As tough as he is, no nonsense, never complains, never whined, ain't the type of guy that's talking about the money, like he's in it because he loves the game. Everything about Gunnar you love. I think people think he's a really dang good football player, and I think he's one of the best competitors, period, in the country. But he's not on that level yet of Julian Sain, of Dante Moore, from an arm talent perspective. If Gunnar takes those steps and inches closer towards them, with the way Georgia's going to run the football, everybody going to get a face full of that G. It's not going to be pretty.
David Pollack with Brett Rollins talking about Gunnar. And again, a lot of that's predicated, Mike, on that run game. Like that's that we get back to that, and can they run the ball like they should or have in the past? And if they do, then it makes his job a lot easier. But I don't want to dismiss Gunnar. I think he's a really good quarterback, and he's a winner, and he knows how to win games. And sometimes, Mike, it's those intangibles that it's not always arm talent,
right,
that wins.
Well, I mean, again, things are beyond his control. If it's a crucial fourth down, I mean, who's your playmaker? I mean, Cash Jones is a nice story, but Zachariah Branch was the guy that was the man for the job every time the game was on the line, in my mind.
Yep.
And I just think they got a little too crazy with ball distribution to everybody else. You know, I mean, you know me, bro. I think you put the ball in his hands against Notre Dame. And that was a tough situation to be in. You letting that kid do a 2-minute drill in his first start, you know, against that. And that defense was living in Georgia's backfield. Then last year, as I've argued all the time about Bobo, I think that comes from Kirby. They hit the brakes before halftime. Let Gunner go win that game for you. Make it a 17-point or 16-point lead at halftime instead of sitting on it the way they did. I'll never understand that one.
All right, coming up next, we're going to go to Miami, guys. Brendan Tobin is going to join us. He covers the Dolphins. We'll find out the latest with those guys because we're trying to figure out what we're going to see Friday. What's their plan, and what are they going to look like this year? I feel like it's a rebuild, but we'll find out from Brendan coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.